Welcome to Over the Rainbow, a safe space and voice for all queer identities. I'm your host, Rachel Keithley, and I use she, her pronouns. Every Wednesday, we bring you new episodes dedicated to queer representation, education, and activism. Today is the last episode of season two, and what a guest and topic we have for you today. I sat down with Lexi Lenoir, whose pronouns are she, her, to talk all about queer weddings. We talk about the amazing work Lexi does within her business, Queer Weddings, and the importance of safe spaces and representation within the wedding and events industry for the queer community and other marginalised folk. Weddings are still so traditionally heteronormative, so we really unpack that and explore a world in which queer folk are free to be and love whoever they want. So, let's get on with the show. Welcome to Over the Rainbow.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I've rested over the weekend, so I'm ready to go this week.
Yeah, ready to kick it off. Amazing. Would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners? So your name, pronouns, a bit about what you do.
My name is Lexi Lenoir. Pronouns is she, her. And I do weddings and events. That's what I've been doing for a long time now.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that today. So I'm really, really excited to hear more about it.
Yeah, me too.
But before we do, let's start by sharing something we've done this week, either to engage in queer education or activism. So do you want to go first or shall I?
How about you go first?
Yeah, sure. So I always leave my DMs open on my social media, and I occasionally get messages from folk who are asking questions or who are looking for resources, whether it's to explore their sexuality or their gender identity or just for a bit of extra support. And I just love that they feel like they can come to me and open up. So this weekend in particular, I've been taking some time to respond to these people, signpost them to places, or just be a sounding board, because you know, often you don't necessarily want to open up to your friends if you're not ready to. So it's nice that they feel like they can come to me and I'm able to help them in some way. It really makes all this work worth it. I love it.
That's good.
Yeah, that's me this week. What about you?
I actually went to one of Aisha's events, which was about the power of protest. So she was on the panel with two other activists, queer activists, and it was just really nice to hear about different perspectives, different stories, and engaging with them, and they're friends of mine as well. So it was just like an open conversation, which was really, really good. And I love hearing people's stories. So it was really nice.
Yeah, I do, the different perspectives that you have. I think I saw that on social media and was like, oh, why do I not live in London?
I know, especially queer stories, you know, and just hearing about stories from different backgrounds, from different countries, you know, places that we didn't grow up in and what's going on elsewhere. So, you know, as much as we kind of know what's going on, we don't actually know until we hear it from people who actually live there. So it was really, really interesting. And also I hadn't been out for a while, so it was nice to see people and connect with my queer family.
Yeah, that means a lot, doesn't it, after the pandemic?
I know, but it's also because I've been working quite a lot as well. And I've allowed myself to rest more than go out. I mean, Aisha is the extrovert in this relationship. There's literally no doubt about that. But also I try to support her as much as I can. I try to go to events and, you know, do my bits.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I feel like an event like that where it's a talk is like a low-key way of doing it, isn't it? Rather than being at the clubs at 3 a.m. I don't know how she does it.
Don't even. Yeah, no. There's, I have my limits, okay?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's 10 p.m. I'm off to bed.
9 p.m. for me. It was just nice to connect with my queer family and just hear about their stories.
Yeah, well, amazing, great example. So let's get into today's episode, and we're talking about queer weddings, aka one of the best topics ever.
Right?
So exciting. Every wedding is great, but queer weddings are better, in my opinion. So,
I mean, fact.
Not to be biased. So what motivated you to get into the, I guess, wedding space, but specifically queer wedding business as well?
So I've been working in the event business now for 15 years. I moved from Paris when I was almost 19 years old, and I've started working in hospitality from that time. And then I got into proper weddings about 7-8 years ago. And, you know, obviously the more you kind of grow within yourself, you know, you grow your career, you grow yourself, and you see that there's something that's not there. And you really wonder, what is it? Like, why is it that I don't see myself reflected in those beautiful unions as well? Why is it that is like you have to actively do something about it? It just doesn't happen. So yeah, I think it's there's a huge gap in the market for queer weddings. And I just thought, you know what? Let me do something about it, because we see it more often now, but you know, I feel like it's just not there 100%. So here is me coming into the market, into the wedding market, which is really, really hard, and doing my thing. You know, I want to do what I do best for my community. And here we are, queer weddings.
I absolutely love that, because I mean, everywhere you see in terms of the wedding industry, it is so like heteronormative. Yes. And cisgender. And even outside the wedding industry, it's always, oh, is your husband coming? It's like, no, I don't have one, so thank you for that.
It will never come.
Yeah, do you know him? Because I don't.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I've realized that talking about queer weddings is almost a form of coming out for me as well, because you know, it's like, oh well, why do you do queer weddings? Because I'm queer, first of all. I don't have a husband, I have a future wife here. And you know, at the beginning I felt a bit funny talking to people about it, but then I thought, well, you know what, you just gotta have to get used to it, kind of thing. Because if my community reacts with such excitement to the news of me doing that, then why our other counterparts don't do the same? You know what I mean? So it's about breaking barriers at the end of the day. Everything that we do is about breaking barriers. So we're doing it.
Yeah. And I love that we're on like the first wave of that. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it really is.
So why do you think there is this lack of diversity and inclusion in the wedding industry, particularly here in the UK, when we have same-sex marriage, we don't have equal marriage across the board, but why do you think there is still this lack of diversity?
Because it comes with, well, number one, racism, let's be honest. There's a lack of representation. There are a lot of lacks. And that brings to the whole, you know, profile of the white couple, white straight couple, you know, getting married. You know, if you look at the advertisement, it's always targeted at white cis couples. There's always just one narrative, and that's the narrative that is used across all boards. And this is why you don't have diversity, because now what you see as well is multicultural weddings. You have Asian weddings, Jewish weddings, and I've seen it with my own eyes. When something like that happens, there is not even any diversity in this. So rather than have everyone being divided because they can't find what they are looking for, how about we are inclusive in our approach? And, you know, queer weddings is specifically targeted at queer couples, and I want to make that really, really clear. You know, I invite everybody, but the queer community is at the forefront here. And I want to make a statement with this and be really upfront and be like, well, we don't see ourselves being reflected elsewhere. So I'm going to make sure that I'm going to do my best to reflect you.
Yeah, I love that. I love the space you're carving out. But I think something you said was really interesting, and it's so true. It goes beyond queer folks. It's everyone. It's the lack of diversity in terms of race, religion, culture. And it's like when you go to a traditional, in inverted commas, wedding venue or a traditional wedding planner, it's just like you said, it's just one narrative, it's one option for the wedding. So even cisgender heteronormative couples are getting stuck in this like patriarchal assumption of what a wedding should look like. Like I went to a my best friend's wedding last week, and she's white and her partner's Indian, and it was a great like mesh of culture. Whereas previous weddings I've gone to, it's been all the, oh, you know, you need to ask the father's permission first, and then they need to give the bride away. And obviously that's great for some people, but it's always like the default, and there's no pushing against or questioning why these structures are in place.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's not about time that things change, because things should have changed already, you know, but at least creating something alternative for me is I think the right thing to do. It's funny because it's something that I didn't have to brainstorm about. It was just like, well, you know what, this is what I'm going to do about it, because if you can, then you should technically do something about it. And I'm like, I have the skills, I have, you know, the contacts, I have a lot of, you know, wealth into that sort of knowledge, and I can do it, and this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I love looking at your Instagram when you've had an event. Can I just go to their wedding? It's amazing. But obviously, putting aside the amazing work you're doing, would you say that queer folk still encounter problems when they're planning their weddings? So, for example, one thing I saw in the news, I mean, it was a few years ago now, but was a gay couple wanting to have a wedding cake designed for them, and the bakery, whoever it was, refused because they're a gay couple. Do LGBTQ plus folks still encounter these barriers?
Absolutely. They do. They do it in their everyday life. There are people who are still not okay with it. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's wrong. You know, it's absolutely wrong. It's, you know, I mean, I'm planning my wedding. I mean, let's be honest, the wedding is planned. But when I was looking at my suppliers, and these are people I know, and I went to them because I knew that, you know, they are open to us, they love us the way we are, and they're going to deliver the wedding that we want them to deliver. So yes, it is still an issue, and this is why we need to make those narratives the new norm, because people like that are still thinking, well, it's wrong, you know, we're not in the 1920s, do you know what I mean? This is 2021. So in order to sort of break those barriers, we need to make those alternative weddings the new norm. And, you know, I don't even know why I say alternative weddings, because a wedding is a wedding at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? It's about bringing those narratives to the forefront and showing people that everyone gets married. It's not just a man and a woman. It could be anybody to anybody. It could be a queer, it could be non-binary, it could be trans, could be anybody to anybody. So let's do something about it. Let's bring this to the forefront, and let's show people that, well, that's fine as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the ultimate aim is, like you said, to get to the stage where it's just, oh, there's a wedding this weekend, and not be like, oh,
exactly.
Look, it's a queer wedding this weekend. Like, it's like, we don't say, oh, look at that straight wedding happening this weekend.
Exactly. And it's about also changing your language. I think the language is, you know, as well as the marketing, the language is also, you know, it can put you off. It's always Mr. and Mrs. It's always bride and groom. It's always bridal party. It's always, you know what I mean? It's just, we need to change all of that. Let's be honest. And yeah. It makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it's like, if you're not someone being uncomfortable by it, it's because you're someone who is lucky enough to fit into that narrative.
Exactly.
There are plenty of us who do not.
Well.
So what are some tips that you have for the perfect queer wedding?
I don't have tips for the perfect wedding. I just feel like people... I want to create the space for people to be themselves and to let me know what it is that they have in mind, rather than trying to tame themselves and make themselves trying to fit into, you know, something that they're not. So yes, it's a bit of a generic thing to say, but I just really want people to be themselves, because they can be open. If you want something outrageous, then just tell me, and if I can make it happen, I will. That's always been my policy. You know, I've worked in some of the best 5-star hotels in London, and you know, when people have the money to do things, then they just do it. But you know, I know that the capital doesn't necessarily flow nicely within the queer community. So you know, I want to try to do my best to provide, you know, a perfect day, whatever that perfect means to the couple.
Yeah, I think that just makes for a more unique, impactful day for yourself, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I really can make a lot of things happen. Not the impossible, you know, but I believe that I really can do something nice and beautiful for people.
Yeah, I love that. You've already said this a little bit, but I just want to talk about it a bit more. What are queer weddings teaching society about marriage?
Well, that marriage doesn't necessarily mean a man and a woman getting a union together. It just means couple who want to go through this life together and do what they want to do and just be themselves. You know what I mean? It's hard enough that we have to deal with other things, and then now it's just something else to deal with. You know, we know that whatever we do, it's going to be a fight. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be, you know, something, a hurdle, something. So, you know, let's try to do this thing called life together. And yeah, I think that's the most important thing. That's what I think for myself, with my wife as well. Let's try to do this thing called life as safely as we can. But also let's, you know, let's try to break some barriers out here.
Yeah, I love that. Have you seen, this isn't a question I had written down, but it's just come to me, as you've sort of moved your way through the wedding industry or the hospitality industry, and now obviously into the queer wedding industry, have you seen the changes for it to become more inclusive? Obviously, there's still a long way to go, but has it improved in the time you've been in the industry?
It has improved, but I also feel like a lot of people that I've seen around, it feels like it's performative rather than genuine. I've seen websites where so the people were presenting their services, and then they had a tab for LGBTQ weddings, and I'm just it makes me laugh, because I'm just like, why would you not just insert that content within your website rather than have a tab dedicated to LGBTQ plus weddings? And you know, out of curiosity, I clicked on the tab and I just read the language was just all wrong. And it was just like, oh, come and book me because I'm so this and I'm so that and blah, blah, blah. And I know LGBT. And like, who says LGBT these days? Do you know what I mean? No one says that. Only people who would be ignorant about saying LGBTQ+, but never mind that. Or people who are using the word same-sex weddings. It's, you know, we've evolved from that. It's, you know, and for me, it just means that you haven't done your research. You're just trying to be in it with us. And it just doesn't work for me. And, you know, I've been asked to do consultancy work as well, which I'm very pleased about, because for me, it's just like, well, I don't know about anything about that. So can you come and teach us? And, you know, sometimes I feel, well, I'm not a teacher. You need to do your own research. But sometimes you need to give people a little nudge so then they can go on and do their own research. So I'm happy to do that. But yeah, the language needs to stop. And then the separate tab for things, it just needs to stop.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's we just see performative allyship in inverted commas everywhere. It's like when, obviously after the murder of George Floyd and everyone was posting the black squares on social media, it's like, are you actually doing anything beyond that? Do you know the issues and the struggles, or are you just posting that to be like, oh, look, my work's done, now I can get on with my life? Mm. Because anyone can do that. I can change my website to post that and look like I'm great.
Exactly, but it's about how inclusive are you really? And for me, if I want to know about Asian weddings, I will do my own research, which I have. If I want to do a research about, you know, I have clients, Turkish clients, Iranian clients, Nigerian clients, and it's about making a conscious effort to learn about people's cultures and other things, you know, because I'm seeing some beautiful things. I want to learn about it, you know. I want to learn about the traditions or the non-traditions, or you know what I mean? So being in the wedding industry is a constant learning curve. Like every day you learn about something different. So you know what I mean? And I'm more than welcome to do that, but also it's about what are you doing to learn about, you know, me? Which is, it's not just a tab on the website. It's a whole learning. It's a whole, you know, go out there, do your research, go to events, listen to the talks. You know, don't roll your eyes every time you hear about oppression, because it's real. You know what I mean? Oppression is real. It's happening. Racism is happening. It's not just something that we throw that, oh, well, you're racist because you're saying that. No. If I call out someone for being a racist, it means that you are probably a racist. So, yeah.
Hard truths, but it is so true, isn't yeah, it? People don't want to hear it because they don't want to face it.
Yeah, and they don't want to deal with it, which is the issue in the industry. It's no one wants to deal with things. Let's just make a pretty website, post pretty photos, and be satisfied with that. Well, it doesn't satisfy me, because I just feel like I'm missing something if I don't learn about someone.
Yeah, I think it makes you a better person in general, but also yeah. As a customer, like, if I'm choosing, so specifically for me, if I'm choosing someone to look after my wedding as a queer person, am I going to choose you, who A, is queer, or B, has done your research on queerness and knows the struggles, knows like what my life is, or am I going to choose the person who's just added a tab as an afterthought that's full of mistakes? Like, you're obviously not getting my business if you're doing that. So it's like, you right. might as well just put the work in.
Yeah. And you know, there is a lot to do, but if you're committed to the work, then it shouldn't feel like a task. You know what I mean? It's just like, well, let me learn about you and what you do. And you know, and there are some people who are even trying to learn about the being queer and queer couples and how we work and change their language and stuff. And it's cool, you know what I mean? It's nice to see that people are actually thinking, oh, well, yeah, actually, I'm shooting myself in the foot as well by not taking that particular business because I don't know anything about it, or because I used like old school language on my website. You know, you're missing out on the coins as well, let's be honest. So,
yeah, if nothing motivates you, that should.
I mean, that's the thing for me, is it's like just for business purposes, because we are business oriented at the end of the day. You know, I'm trying to pay my bills. For me, I mean, I'm a queer person, so it's not even like I have to do the hard work, because I am an activist at the end of the day. But for you, like, yeah, I think that's, if you're a cis white business owner, just do your research. You know, it's not that hard, I don't think.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, just take the steps now. Let's get it done.
No, go to an event. Like, just come to UK Black Pride. You will get a lesson within a day. Trust me.
Honestly, yeah. I'm ready for the in-person events. I know you had Pride online and it was incredible, but oh, I'm ready to be able to go back down to London. And
yeah, me too. It's going to be a lot of work, but me too.
So worth it. Yeah. Finally, where can people find you for their queer wedding of their dreams, or just the wedding of their dreams? Where can we find you?
Well, so I am on Queer Weddings UK on Instagram. I am relaunching my website in conjunction with Black History Month. So in October, my website will be nice and shiny, and you'll find all the information that you want. But yeah, you can find me on Queer Weddings UK.
Amazing. I'll link all these to the show notes so people can
yes,
find
please.
You.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for today. I love weddings, so talking about queer weddings has just made my Monday.
Oh, that's nice. It's a nice way to start the week.
It really is. I know. I'm like, get planning my own now. I'm not engaged yet, but I can start planning.
Well, you know, when you're ready, call me.
Absolutely will, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening today. New episodes are available every Wednesday, so please do download, share, and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a thing. If you have any questions or feedback, please contact the podcast on social media. We are on Instagram @_OverTheRainbowPodcast, Twitter @OverRainbowPod, and Facebook @OverTheRainbowPodcast13. Have a queer week, and I'll see you next Wednesday.